BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. A question for you. What do you think the Mona Lisa sounds like in musical terms? Well, a visually impaired composer has adapted famous pieces of art for our benefit. More on that later. And as our theme today is accessible art, remember this.
I'm Giggle the cat. I have orange and yellow stripy fur and ears shaped like triangles.
Hello, it's me, Pockets, and my guide dog, Yapette.
Well, those are a couple of the Mixed Mups, the troupe of animated characters that we featured last year, created by visually impaired writer and producer Rebecca Atkinson, and aimed at the fives and just under. They proved very popular on Channel 5's early morning segment, Milkshake. But now Rebecca wants to take the project much further with something called Ultra Access. The idea is that youngsters with a range of disabilities can customise the show to suit their specific viewing needs whilst watching online. Rebecca joins us again. First of all, just explain the concept of Ultra Access and how you've adapted the Mixed Mups episodes.
Sure. So Ultra Access is something completely new, which makes it quite hard to explain sometimes. It's a service that we're offering on Mixed Mups with 10 episodes of the show, where we're using interactive TV technology to allow viewers to mix up their own bespoke access. So we're taking access, traditional TV access, beyond subtitles, audio description and signers, and we're extending that to offer Mixed Mups viewers a whole raft of other access features, which they can mix and match and mix up over 4,000 different ways to watch Mixed Mups now.
And just give me an idea of the sorts of things that would help a visually impaired child.
So when I was writing 52 episodes of Mixed Mups, I was really aware of how children of different needs were going to access the stories. I started thinking about, well, perhaps these children would find it useful to have a shortened synopsis before they watch an episode so that the parents can say, okay, we'll watch this and we can tell you what this show's going to be about before you actually watch it. I was also aware that audio description doesn't have time to tell you the details of what people look like, what they're wearing, what the sets look like. So we created World of Mixed Mups, which is a 6-minute introduction to the world. It describes all the characters in detail. It describes where they live. So it really allows a visually impaired child to get really immersed.
We all live in a round helter-skelter house in Mixington Valley.
It's got red and white stripes on the outside.
There's also an option to simplify the visual. So this means that a child with visual impairment or sensory processing difficulties has less to have to take in. They can just track the main action with the characters.
Right. Now, at the moment, as we've said, this is only available online and for the Mixed Mups. How confident are you that, you know, mainstream companies will be up for adopting this and other series?
I would love to see CBeebies take this up. I would love to see other TV shows, you know, maybe 10 episodes of Bluey with Ultra Access, Peppa Pig with Ultra Access, to allow these children, and it's not just visually impaired children or deaf children, it's children with autism, it's children with learning disabilities, to open up TV stories to a whole generation of children with different special needs.
Right. Well, someone who will almost certainly have a view on that is our other guest, Kate Dimbleby, co-founder of Stornoway, which is a company that's been working with this idea of customising the way that we interact with various forms of media. Kate, it sounds as if coming across Rebecca and her ideas was a bit of a gift for you, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Peter. So Stornoway is an interactive video platform technology built for TV and streaming platforms. We haven't been able to get it on the mainstream because until people see these use cases, they don't really understand what's possible.
Mm. Had you seen the potential for children with disabilities?
Yes. So one of the things that Stornoway is being used around the world for is to unlock educational projects online, video projects for children and teenagers, offering multiple paths depending on their needs and their interests. And that's the future, really, is like, rather than broadcast media, we're talking about actually being able to make media that feeds what people are interested in and is personalised to them.
Could it go mainstream, do you think? Could it be available on, you know, all new television sets at some time?
There's no reason why it can't be. And we've had actually, since Rebecca wrote a beautiful piece about her experience as a child and how she wanted to move accessibility forward. And since then, we've been approached by quite a lot of different platforms.
This may make you groan as a creative person, but I'm assuming there's quite a lot of potential for AI in doing this in terms of, you know, the amount of technical invention that's needed.
Yes, and I think it's always going to be where we feel quite confident, because we're seeing what happens when you give people the tools to create this kind of complex layered media. AI can help with that. It can fast forward translation. It can do all sorts of things with the visuals. But actually, it really is the human vision at the heart of working with the technology. So I feel quite confident that AI will definitely help fast forward all these innovations, but it actually won't be doing it for us quite yet.
Right. Let's just quickly go back to Rebecca. Just remind us again where people can find the Ultra Access episodes of Mixed Maps.
Sure. So they can go to channel5.com, and then it's the milkshake section, which is for young children. So it's channel5.com/milkshake, and they will be able to find them there.
Rebecca Atkinson, Kate Dimbleby, thank you both very much indeed. Now, it's a moment for artistic honesty on my part. As a congenitally blind person with only light perception, I've never been able to derive any satisfaction from visual art, however great people tell me it is, or even how well it's described to me. But a lot of visually impaired people assure me that they do. And then again, I've never tried finding a link between art and music, which I do enjoy hugely. So, here goes. Visually impaired composer Bobby Goulda, whose new album, Sounds of a Masterpiece, created with the BBC's new radiophonic workshop, has attempted to reimagine in musical terms seven of the world's great paintings, from Da Vinci's Mona Lisa to David Hockney's A Bigger Splash and Jean-Michel Basquiat's King of Egypt, all with the aim of bringing visually impaired people closer to art. Bobby Goulda, welcome to In Touch. So where does this idea derive from?
Well, as you alluded to yourself, the visually impaired community often don't get quite as much from art, from the visual arts. So I'm visually impaired myself, but I have a decent amount of peripheral vision, so I can get some general sense of, you know, of colour and perhaps sort of landscape. I've always found that a verbal audio description, merely saying in words, describing the picture, doesn't quite give enough, you know, of what's really behind that art. And there's always so much texture and so much depth to the feelings that can be gained from painting. So Sound of a Masterpiece is all about trying to heighten some of those emotions for those with less vision to be able to appreciate a bit more, but also for people with full vision to see things in a different way or interpret the art in a different way.
I mentioned three there. What other pieces have you included on this album?
So I think the full seven is, yeah, you've mentioned David Hockney, Basquiat. The Scream is in there, which is pretty dark. Then there's a piece of Salvador Dali, The Persistence of Memory, and then Frida Kahlo, one of her self-portraits. I may have forgotten one. I think we've got them all.
We'll try and think of it before the end.
Oh, Monet, of course. The water lilies. That's one of my favourites.
Ah, well, we'll come back to that. How would you persuade someone like me that I could find a way of appreciating the Mona Lisa or the Scream? You know, is there audio description with this?
I would actually start by saying that there really isn't a way of drawing a perfect parallel between a piece of sound and a piece of visual art. This is all so subjective. The pieces really are about kind of stimulating the imagination, I suppose. But there are sort of two versions of these tracks. There's one without audio description, if you want to just sort of close your eyes and let the imagination run wild. Or that there is also versions with verbal descriptions attached.
Well, I'll try harder. I'm an old curmudgeon. Someone who has been far more open-minded about this is Sam Leftwich, who we met actually at an art gallery. So I know, Sam, that you're interested. Just explain your relationship with art.
So I think for a long time, I've always been quite a creative person. Creating art, but not from a professional capacity. I'd say now it is part of my work. I am an engagement manager for a sight loss council in Essex and in Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire. And we have arts and culture projects where we are working to improve the accessibility for blind and partially sighted people to the arts.
And you do have some vision, don't you?
I do. So I'm registered severely sight impaired, but I have some usable vision. I can get by and imagine, certainly with some description, what a piece of art might look like.
So would you like to pick an example from one of these imaginings and tell us what it tells you?
Yes, I think I felt kind of closest to Water Lily Pond by Monet. And I think when I first listened to it, you kind of hear the water droplets. It just kind of took me straight to sort of the water. And then afterwards, there was more of a melodic kind of sound and pieces that came on board. And I just felt really tranquil and calm. I have actually visited that garden where he painted that particular picture when I was fully sighted. So for me, it did take me back, and it was quite kind of emotional, but in a nice kind of positive way. And I could remember exactly what that looks like. And then thinking about the picture itself and the painting itself, how that might relate to that. But I do think the use of the audio description to go along with that is a really powerful way of kind of linking the two together. But I can imagine there are certain people who will enjoy it and will take a lot from it. And then there are probably some people who will go, yeah, not so much, not for me. But I think, like everything, people have their own preferences when it comes to music, when it comes to art. A lot of our sight loss council members across the country will certainly have something to say and take something from it.
Bobby, where can people hear the album?
The album is called Sound of a Masterpiece, and it's available to download and stream Amazon Music, Apple Music and Tidal. It actually isn't available on Spotify because that's not set up to stream fully immersive, like a 3D audio. So we mixed all of these tracks in Dolby Atmos, which allows for a fully immersive sort of 3D sound experience. So I definitely encourage listening on a good set of headphones if you have them.
Bobby Goulder, Sam Leftwich, thank you both very much indeed. And that's it for today. Reactions, please, as always, email in touch at bbc.co.uk and leave your voice messages on 0161 836 1338. From me, Peter White, and producer Beth Hemmings, an artistic goodbye.